Good evening. It's my privilege to preach to you the Word of God this evening. We give thanks to God for giving us a comfortable circumstance to worship Him. And let us draw our hearts to His Word, fully convinced that He can nourish our souls through His Word, His eternal Word. Our passage today is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Galatians 6, 1 through 10. When Paul wrote this epistle to the Galatians, he was in great anguish and discouragement, for the Galatians deserted the gospel that Paul had preached to them and turned to another gospel, a false gospel that promoted legalism. So Paul almost felt that he had labored among the Galatians in vain. But close to the end of this letter, Paul wrote this: "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." Paul was not ready to give up on the Galatians, even though they have greatly discouraged him, frustrated him. And this evening we shall see that why Paul still had this confidence, even in the face of this great defeat, and how he could still have the strength to keep doing this good work, even in face of great resistance. So now, please pay attention to the reading of the Word of God. "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who has taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let's pray. Oh God, we pray that you will use your word to strengthen us, so that we will not grow weary, that we will not faint, that we will not give up. May your word carry us through all discouragement, through all difficulties, so that we can celebrate the day of reaping, the day of harvest. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you feel the weight of life's burden on your shoulder? Are you exhausted because of the heavy work in your hands? And can you hear the groanings and sighs of weary souls all over the world. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. Moses says in Psalm 90, the span of our life is full. The span of our life is but toil and trouble. And we bring our years to an end like a sigh. So every direction I turn to, I hear sighs of weariness. I hear college students complain, we are weary of this virus. We've had enough of wearing masks and practicing social distancing. I hear black friends cry, we are weary of police shootings. We are fed up with this institutional racism against African Americans. And I also hear Democrats protest. We are weary of Trump in the White House. We can't wait to elect a new president. Yes, we are all weary. We are weary of injustice, weary of restrictions, weary of violence, weary of political strife. But none of these weary expressions have the intensity and gravity of one particular kind of weariness, and that is the weariness of doing good. For if you are weary of those unpleasant circumstances around you, you can still look forward to the days when you will be rid of them. You are even motivated to take actions against these evils. But if you grow weary of doing good, if you are ready to give up your endeavor after good works, then you are screwed. You are shipwrecked. You lose all hope and strength, and you can't do anything or go anywhere. Paul says in Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. The verb to grow weary in this verse does not refer to physical weariness. To grow weary here is to be utterly spiritless, to be driven to despair, to be burned out completely. A better way to translate this word is to lose heart. The famous proverb says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. But if you lose your heart, then your springs of life are drained, and nothing will flow from you. So today's message is for all of you, for all who labor and are heavy burdened. Don't give up. Don't faint under the weight of your burden. Carry on. Carry on with your burden. Carry on with good works. Carry on and on. And today's message is also for all who despair and are disheartened. Don't lose heart. Don't lose sight of the day of harvest. Cheer up, for in due season you will reap. For in due season you will come home with shouts of joy, with sheaves of grain. Therefore, heavy burdened and disheartened, carry on and cheer up. Carry on and cheer up. If we do not want to grow weary of doing good, First, we need to find out why we grow weary. What causes that weariness that prevents us from doing good? And in our passage today, Paul identifies two causes of weariness. The first one is unbearable burdens. Burdens that are too heavy to carry. And the second one is unproductive labor. Hard and tough labor that fails to bear fruit. Now let's look at the first cause of weariness, which is laid out in verses 1 to 5. In verses 1 to 5, the imagery of burden bearing is predominant. First, in verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Then again in verse 5, for each will have to bear his own load. At first sight, it seems that the two verses contradict each other. Are we supposed to share our burdens with one another? Or to carry our burdens all by ourselves? But a close look shows that they do not contradict, but actually complement each other. For on one hand, we cannot bear one another's burden if we do not bear our own burden. As one commentator points out, it is the man who knows he has a burden of his own to bear that is willing to bear his fellow's burdens. If we don't even want to bear our own burden, how would we care to bear the burden of others? On the other hand, we fail to bear our own load if we refuse to bear another's burden. For hear what verses 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Paul already mentions it in the previous chapter. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't bear one another's burden, if you do not love your neighbor as yourself, if you do not carry your neighbor's burden as your own burden, if you do not fulfill the law of Christ, then how could you claim in the presence of God that you have fulfilled your duty to bear your own burden? Of course not. We fail to bear our own burden if we refuse to bear our fellow's burdens. Now we have solved this exegetical problem. We know that it's not contradictory for you to bear your own burden as well as another's burden. But here comes the practical problem. For now, you are not only responsible for your own burden, but also the burden of others. In other words, your burden is yours alone, and your neighbor's burdens are yours as well. How would you respond? Are you going to joyfully pick up another's burden and carry it on your shoulder? I don't know about you, but I cannot. My wife Amy can testify to you about me. For whenever I need to prepare my sermon, she can barely ask me to lift a finger to help him, to help her. She can barely ask me to do any favor for her. Because sermon preparation is almost my only burden of the whole week. Because it's an unbearable burden to me. Whenever I work on my sermon, every fiber of my being is screaming, the work is too hard. I cannot do it. The burden is too heavy. I cannot bear it any longer. And now you want to talk to me about bearing your burden? There's no way. But there is a way for me to bear my own burden and your burden, even when I need to preach. And the solution is found in verses 3 and 4. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. Here Paul is saying to the Galatian Christians, who imagine themselves to be something while being nothing. For these Galatians follow the false teachers who make much of them. These Galatians receive circumcision to make a good showing in their own flesh, in order to boast in their own righteousness. They submit again to the yoke of slavery. And I am one of the Galatians, for I think I am something. When I preach, I imagine myself to be the center of the pulpit, the star on the stage. Everyone's attention is on me, and so I must be perfect. I must impress you. I must not disappoint you. I want you to make much of me, and I want to make a good showing of my ability, of my skills. That's why I spend a lot of time working on my sermon. I want every point to be refined, every word to be precise, every pronunciation to be correct. If I preach well this time, I have to preach better next time, for I must live up to your expectation. Therefore, I have been adding more and more pressure on myself. I have been putting heavier and heavier load upon myself until my burden becomes unbearable, until I grow weary of preaching, until I cannot bear another's burden. But Paul's message is so liberating, for he says to me, "You think you are something, but you are nothing. You are nothing but a jar of clay. You are nothing but a broken vessel. Your job is not to promote yourself. Your job is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ." At the moment I feel that my burden suddenly becomes light. That's the moment I start to enjoy preaching again. That's the moment I am motivated to share another's burden. So, brothers and sisters, do you feel heavy burdened? That your burden is more than you can bear? Test your work. Examine the burden you are carrying. Does God lay this burden upon you? Or other people impose this burden upon you? Or you pick up this burden for yourself? Why are you bearing this burden? Are you bearing this burden for God's glory? Are you bearing this burden for people's praise and admiration? Or are you carrying this burden for your pride and boasting? Too often times, driven by self-conceit, driven by the desire for men's approval, we willingly submit to the yoke of slavery. We take upon us more and more burdens that Jesus doesn't want us to bear. Burdens that offer us a sense of achievement, but only drive us to weariness and despair. So stop bearing the burden that you don't have to. Stop bearing the burden that you cannot bear. Stop pretending to be someone you are not. Stop seeking the glory that you don't deserve and you cannot carry. And you will find that the burden of Jesus is light indeed, and the commandments of God are not burdensome. If you are willing to lay down the burden that you pick up on yourself for your own pride, and you will willingly bear another's burden, even willing to pick up the burden of someone who is caught in the transgression, you will be able to carry on. Carry on with the burden of Jesus. You will be able to carry on with the aim to glorify God, not to promote yourself. Now it's time to turn our attention to the second cause of weariness. That is unproductive labor. In verse 7, Paul borrows the imagery of farming, of sowing and reaping. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. At first sight, it's a wonder how anyone could be deceived on this obvious fact. This simple law of reaping, of sowing and reaping. Of course, one will reap what he sows. You don't need to be a farmer to know this. Common sense teaches you that whatever you sow, that will you also reap. But the sad consequence of the depravity of our mind is that the same principle that we recognize so well in the physical area, we fail to grasp when it's applied to the spiritual sphere. We are able to adhere to the physical law of sowing and reaping, but we often mock the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. In verse 8, Paul elaborates on this spiritual law of sowing and reaping. He says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So how do we mock this spiritual law? How do we trample on this spiritual law of sowing and reaping? In two ways. First, we sow to the flesh and expect to reap eternal life. We sow to the flesh and we expect to reap eternal life. Since God has put eternity into our hearts, all of us have a natural bent for eternal significance. Kings dream of building kingdoms that will stand forever. Billionaires hope to store up treasures that will never diminish. Doctors seek to extend human lifespan to immortality. Men and women desire to find relationships that will bring them everlasting happiness. So we labor and toil, sowing to the flesh, but are disappointed to find that what we reap is only corruption, only things that are temporal. So we labor harder and toil more, sowing more abundantly to the flesh, but only to reap more corruption. And this is the insanity of our secular culture, which believes that if we keep sowing to the flesh, if we keep sowing and sowing, if we keep storing up products of corruption, then one day we might reap eternal life. One day we might achieve eternal significance. But this is not just secular thinking. It's also the prevalent thinking in the Church of Galatia. For the Galatians believe that unless they receive circumcision in the flesh, unless they work hard to their own flesh, they will not be able to receive eternal life. They sow to the flesh, and they expect to reap eternal life. No wonder Paul says to them in such severe tone, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" The Galatians have received their faith from the Holy Spirit. But instead of sowing this holy seed to the Spirit, they sow it to the flesh. And they hope to reap eternal life by the works of their flesh. Surely they are even more foolish than unbelievers. So brothers and sisters, are you foolish? Are you sowing to the flesh and expecting to reap eternal life? Are you working hard by your own strength, by your carnal strength, and expect to gain eternal life by your own works? If so, your labor is doomed to be unproductive. Your labor is surely in vain. But there is the other way in which we mock the spiritual law of reaping and sowing. That is, we sow to the Spirit and we expect to reap corruption. We expect to reap corruptible fruits. We expect to reap quick and easy results that have no eternal bearing. We pray to God and we expect to get immediate answer. We read the Bible and we expect to get immediate guidance. We attend worship service and we expect to experience immediate emotional awakening. We share the gospel and we expect to see immediate conversion. And when we cannot get quick reaping as we expect, we jump to the conclusion that we have labored in vain. And so we lose heart, give up, we quit sowing to the Spirit, and grow weary of doing good. But brothers and sisters, we forget that if we sow to the Spirit, we are not supposed to reap weeds and thorns that sprout quickly by themselves. We do not expect to reap grass and flowers that flourish in the morning and vanish in the evening. But we are to reap eternal life. Life that is incorruptible, life that is imperishable. How long should it take to reap eternal life? I don't know. Only God knows. But even if it would take our whole life to sow the seed to the Holy Spirit without reaping the harvest, we still should not say that we have labored in vain. We still could cheer up, for we know that in due season we will reap. We will reap eternal life. We are all weary of this virus. But let us pay attention to the point that the virus is making. The virus is showing us the difference between corruption and eternity. The difference between things that are corruptible and the things that will last to eternity. For whatever the virus could destroy is corruptible, but the virus can do no harm at all to what is eternal. So no matter how precious these things mean to you, your job, your savings, your health, even your physical life, no matter how precious these things mean to you, you should not let your fear of losing these precious, yet corruptible things to prevent you from sowing to the Spirit, to discourage you from doing good to one another. Even in this life-threatening season, you must keep sowing to the Spirit. You must keep doing good to everyone. For in due season, you will reap from the Spirit eternal life. Life that nothing can destroy. Life in the perfect communion with God. So we do not labor in vain. We know we will reap. Even though our current labor seem unproductive, but if we keep sowing to the Spirit, we know that from the Spirit, we will reap. We will reap eternal life. For the Spirit is faithful. The Spirit is not a barren field. The Spirit is able to bear the fruit of Spirit abundantly. So all of you who are heavy burdened and disheartened, carry on and cheer up. You who are heavy burdened, carry on. Carry on sowing to the Spirit. Carry on doing good to everyone. For he who bore your sins on the cross, he who was crushed for your iniquities, he will carry on with you. He will carry you on eagle's wings. He will carry you as a father carries his son. And he will carry you to himself. And you who are disheartened, cheer up. For in due season, your hard labor will pay off. In due season, you will taste the joy of harvest. In due season, you will reap eternal life. For he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He who sowed the good seed in you, he who sowed the good seed in you will send his reapers at the day of harvest to gather you into his barn. So carry on and cheer up. Carry on and cheer up. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you know that we are weak. You know that we are too easy to give up, to grow weary. So sustain us and give us strength, that we may not faint under our burdens. Refresh our souls and give our hope, so that we will not lose heart because of adversity, because of apparent defeat. O Lord, keep us in well-doing. Keep us in hard-working until we will see the day of harvest, until we will celebrate the season of reaping, until we can taste the eternal life that you have promised to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.